On this episode of the Heat Check, it's officially Dame time in Milwaukee. And I am in my field. We also get into the recent reporting that is spilling the tea on the cold war between Dame's camp and the Blazers front office. All the latest on the Jrue Holiday trade. We also have a fun interview with Jonathan Zaslow of the Zaslow 2.0 podcast, straight out of Miami, to get to the Heat view of how things went down. Hint, not great, Bob. Not great. All right, William, drop that generic-ass beat that should be Rihanna.
Breaking down all the biggest NBA storylines. You're tuned in to The Heat Check.
The Heat Check
with Trista Crick. The best podcast covering all the drama around the association.
All right, last time we talked about Damian Lillard, he had just been traded and the entire basketball world was in shock. Let's rewind for just a second and bask in the glory of this monumental trade. Shall we? We shall. The Blazers get Jrue Holiday, which he has been traded. But the beginning of the trade was Jrue Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Toumani Kamara, who is very good. I actually like him a lot. A 2029 first round pick, unprotected, and two pick swaps in 2028 and 2030. As I would say, 2030. The Suns got Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. And the Bucks get, of course, Dame time Lillard. That happened. And if you hadn't had or heard how triggered the Miami fans are, we've got a short interview at the end of this episode with Miami radio guy Jonathan Zaslow, friend of show, who will break all that down. But in essence, we have two things to do on this episode, really, as media begins to roll around today. By the way, breaking news if you're living under a rock, shocker, James Harden did not report today to Sixers Media Day. We will talk about that next episode, but for now, the first really is to discuss the other non-Harden breaking news. Portland has traded Jrue Holiday to the Boston Celtics. We'll get into all of that in a minute. And the second thing we have to do, talk about the Cold War still being waged between the Blazers front office and Damian Lillard's camp. Because we got not one, but two massive, I guess, think pieces, if that's what you want to call them, that dropped over the weekend, and they tell, as you might imagine, radically different stories. This is radically different. But first, let's talk about the Jrue Holiday trade, which was an absolute haul. When the Blazers acquired this four-time All-Star, All-NBA defensive first team guard in the Dame trade, it was a massive win for Joe Cronin personally and the franchise as a whole. Because why? Because according to Miami Heat fans, the Blazers had no leverage to get anybody other than someone like Tyler Hero, who is a no-time All-Star. Probably Pat Riley in the front office thought that the best deal was Tyler Hero and two first-round picks. And that was the best the Blazers were ever going to get. Even after the trade, a shocking number of Miami people were saying that the Heat still had the better offer because Tyler Hero was worth as much as Jrue Holiday, which they thought would be a first-round pick. And of course, that was bullshit because there were 20 teams calling for Jrue, four teams that seriously Jrue would re-extend with. And the second the trade was finalized, half the league was beating down Cronin's door for just a chance to get Jrue, who has proven that he can be the final piece to push a team over into a championship. We saw that with the Bucks when he, in late 2020, and they won a title shortly thereafter. The reason that many teams wanted Jrue is because he's the Dame stopper, right? Because Dame to Milwaukee forever altered the NBA landscape, particularly for teams in the East. Not only did it make the Bucks immediately the best team in the East, in the NBA, and the favorite to win it all. It also removed Giannis from the board for the teams that were salivating at the thought that maybe they could get Giannis to ask out and snatch him away from Milwaukee. Now that's off the table, I think. And the other teams in the East, particularly Miami, Philly, Boston, and Cleveland, all needed to make a significant move to stay afloat. And that meant a bidding war. So take that, Miami Heat fans, who are still trying to push the narrative that Tyler Hero is the same as Jrue Holiday. But it turns out the one team that was willing to pull all of their chips into the middle was the Boston Celtics, landed Jrue in this blockbuster deal. Here is the details. Portland gets Rob Williams, Time Lord, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, Malcolm Brogdon, Sixth Man of the Year, a 2024 first-round pick via the Golden State Warriors that came via the Memphis Grizzlies to Boston in the Marcus Smart trade, a 2029 unprotected pick from Boston in the first round. Boston gets Jrue Holiday. That is a holy shit trade, proof that Joe Cronin knew what was up. He knew what he was doing, which is I'm going to flip players. And listen, it wasn't like he wasn't down to flip, right? He was just not down to take a risk on what Tyler Hero was worth. A perennial Defensive Player of the Year in Time Lord. He's always in the mix. Hasn't won it, but he's certainly in the mix. The reigning Sixth Man of the Year and two firsts. That is now what the Blazers are going to do, is now trade Malcolm Brogdon, probably for another first and probably another young piece. The Dame deal is looking sweeter by the minute. It is looking better by the moment for the Trailblazers and Joe Cronin. The move makes a ton of sense because, as some Boston insiders have said, if Dame had been traded earlier, Marcus Smart never would have been moved. You need somebody to stop Dame. And they had no guard on the team that could really stop Dame. And they knew that they had to figure it out, go all in. And what a big balls trade from Boston's perspective. They had a directive from ownership to do whatever it took to win a chip ASAP Rocky. And that's what they did. I'm sad for Boston fans, kind of, because I know how much you love Time Lord. I mean, that was like, oh yeah, we'll give you Peyton Pritchard and the ghost of Aaron Nesmith. And I mean, they just wanted to give nothing, right? That's what fans wanted to do. And they are rightfully split because now, as we see, Brad Stevens has traded 60% of his starting lineup that most people thought last year were favorites to win it all. And some people thought were favorites to win it all this year. And they are now poof, gone. Time Lord, great defender. Defensive Player of the Year caliber when healthy, like I said. But has played less than half a season every year he's been in the league. I know that may sound like it's bad for the Blazers, but he's very young. Brogdon, Sixth Man of the Year, he's going to get flipped. But for Boston's perspective, he's also been injured a ton. And on top of that, reports are that Brogdon wanted a fresh start after the Celtics looked to trade him back in June to the Clippers. And he was like, yeah, I would like out. I don't want this bullshit anymore. Because remember, Brogdon publicly criticized Boston for how they handled things when they lost in the playoffs. Lots of Instagram videos prior to the trade at camp. And guess what? None of those videos showed Malcolm Brogdon. None. It was been icy over there for months. The trade was a heavy price to pay, but ultimately what they had to do to keep up with the Bucks. Now the Celtics team is down Rob Williams, 8-8-2. Marcus Smart, 12-3-6. Malcolm Brogdon, 15-4-4. Grant Williams, 8-5-2. All down from last year. All accounting for 36% of their scoring, 45% of their rebounds, and 52% of their assists. Ooh, that's a lot. More importantly, those four players represented 60% of the team's blocks and 45% of the team's steals. A lot of defense is gone, which is why Jrue was so important to get. Jrue Holiday, lockdown point of attack defender. Yes, he did get cooked by Jimmy Butler, but that was just what you had to do to stop Dame. The move had other ripple effects, of course. Let's talk about Miami. 'Cause Yeah, have to. They get left with their dick in their hands.
Yeah,
they do. And they got to run it back without their two key starters, and Vincent and Struce, who got replaced by Josh Richardson and Thomas Bryant. Yikes. It's now so bad in the Miami streets that Barry Jackson, longtime Miami reporter, who everybody was saying was one of the most respected reporters in the business, but he had been shilling for Pat Riley for the entire summer and Dame's agent for the entire summer. Remember, he said no matter where Dame went, Dame was going to immediately ask out to Miami. Right? Remember that. And now Barry is back on his bullshit. Except for he is tired of the Miami Heat organization doing Miami Heat cheap things, because this is what he said on Twitter. Miami won their titles. My impression is they're happy fielding competitive good teams and selling out every team, which they do. Selling out every game, which they do. If they can win another title without losing tens of millions, great. If not, they won't be losing sleep. Woo-wee. Then he said, if he reported half of the things, because people were like, that's bullshit, Barry, that's bullshit. Then he said, if he reported half of the thing he knows and can't say about what's happening behind the scenes with the Heat, he would lose his fucking press credentials. My God, Barry, this is what we want to see. Scorched earth journalism. Meanwhile, in Philly, they are still trying to figure out how to get in the mix as well. Given that the fact, like I said, James Harden has not reported to Media Day. He is not going to Colorado where they have their training camp. They're still trying to have a sense of what's going to happen with him. As Windhorst said on the Hoop Collective earlier last week, James Harden is owed $9 million, one quarter of his salary, today. We'll have a lot more insight on what's happening with the Sixers this week, but the truth of the matter, the best opportunity to move Harden was in a multi-team trade involving Drew. And now that that ship has sailed, they must get into the Malcolm Brogdon sweepstakes, people. Try to move Harden to the Clippers, get Malcolm Brogdon, do some sort of salary magic. But it is very shaky in Philadelphia right now. The big winner, though, is young first-time GM Joe Cronin. Joe Cronin was seen as a guy that they could bully. Right? Everybody on Miami Twitter, everybody on NBA Twitter said Joe Cronin would have to get fleeced. Dame Lillard had all the leverage. He had no leverage. And now his new nickname is Trader Joe. And it's Jover. I like it's Crover more than I like it's Jover. But people are now putting out memes of Joe Cronin as Dr. Manhattan, complete with a giant hog. Not only did he, that's memes that are out there. They are out there. Not only did he get three firsts, one from Golden State in 2024, which could actually be sneaky valuable. Draymond Green, which I didn't mention, is out for the first month of the season with a sprained ankle. CP3, old. Who knows what this team's going to be? They also have two first-round pick swaps. Also, later in the decade when Giannis is going to be older, Dame's probably not going to be there anymore. Brooke Lopez will be retired. Chris Middleton will have no knee. So those pick swaps could be valuable. The former number one overall pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton, and two starters from the finals 2 years ago. He still has the opportunity to get even more back because there's no chance that Malcolm Brogdon plays a second as a Trailblazer. They're calling Cronin also the flipper or the dolphin, which is like a shot at Miami because he just keeps flipping players for more picks and more players. He's like that kid. There's a kid who started trading with a paperclip, ended up with a house. That's Joe Cronin. He's going to be the new Sam Presti. He's going to take Dame Lillard and he's going to turn him into like five starters and seven picks. This is better, by the way, than the Donovan Mitchell trade, or at least on par. Donovan Mitchell was two firsts and two pick swaps and multiple players. This is very much on par with that. You look at the trade and you say, okay, wow. Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Okbaji, Colin Sexton. And those were all very young players, right? So That's not the same caliber of player. And I love Lauri Markkanen, but he wasn't that player at the time. You've got Rob Williams, you've got DeAndre Ayton, and you've got two Monty Kamara. And then they had three first-round picks, 2025, 2027, and 2029, and two pick swaps. So really, that's basically what it's going to be. It's going to be equal to that of the Donovan Mitchell trade. Very interesting. Like I said, Brogdon, sixth man of the year. Really good defensive presence, and he can shoot. Often hurt, a bit moody, kind of a, some people say, a little bit of a cancer in the clubhouse. Asks a lot of questions. People get upset when you ask a lot of questions. I call him a tree shaker. And that might explain why he's been passed around the league quite a bit. I won't make a Brittany Renner joke there, but that's where my mind went. What Brogdon should bring? Most likely another first-round pick. Probably some more young players. Where could he end up? Probably Miami, but I just don't see that. They're so damn salty. I wouldn't blame Cronin for offering Brogdon to Miami for the original Dame Lillard deal. Hey, give us Tyler Herro and a couple of firsts late in the decade, and we'll see. Nobody needs a point guard more than the Heat. They also, we'll take Lowry off your hands, too. How about that? Also, Philadelphia, they need a point guard as well, with the James Harden deal being kind of up in the air. And Brogdon could have a revenge tour against Boston. Anyway, what a wild few days, where Portland was in the eye of the basketball hurricane and came out smelling like the city of roses.